Tonight, I would like to talk about a topic that comes up pretty frequently and sometimes may be pretty surprising to people how liberal it can be. So please continue eating. I'll get started. And anyone who wants to ask questions can ask, preferably at the end, if it's urgent, in the middle as well. So there's a Jewish custom to start with a joke. Many times I'm asked, what is it like in a Beis Din? What goes on over there? Some people think you shluck a horse. They don't know what you do over there. There's different ways that people look at things. For example, there was a grocer that came in front of a judge, and he said, he complained to the judge, the baker that lives next door, he's the one who supplies my grocery store with the loaves of bread, and when I order from him a whole order of pound loaves of bread. He's supposed to weigh a pound. Let's say I order 100 a day. I weigh them, they only weigh 3/4 of a pound. So the judge turns to the baker and he says to him, that's a pretty serious claim. What do you have to say for yourself? He says, well, tell you the truth, I don't really have weight to weigh the bread. So the judge says, so that makes things even worse, not any better. No, what I do is I take a pound of flour that I purchased from the grocer and I weigh it against the bread. This is basically, you get an idea of how a fact looks in Dinei Torah and Beis Din. Everyone has their perspective and obviously the right perspective is the third perspective. Now we are B'nai Torah, a nation, Chachamim, Mechuchamim, smart people. Very many stories are told about Jewish wit. I'll say one more before we get to the shiur. There's a fellow that walked into a bank in Manhattan and he said he wants to take out a mortgage. Okay, no problem. You want to take out a mortgage? What's your collateral? First of all, what's a mortgage amount? So he says, I want to take a mortgage for $5. $5? Okay. Listen, we usually don't have people asking for $5 in a mortgage, but what's your collateral? So he says, listen, I don't have much collateral, but I have a car. Can I leave my car here and it'll be the collateral? Okay, yeah, sure. They fill out the forms, the income, proof of income, et cetera, et cetera. They give him the loan for $5. He leaves the bank. 2 weeks later, he comes back and pays back $5. And they close out the mortgage. They ask him, could we just ask you a question? Why on earth would you need a loan for $5? So he said, where do you find three cars in Manhattan for $5 for 2 weeks? So it's almost weird to say so. Okay. So now here's a story that's not a joke. It's an introduction to the shir. A beautiful story, a short anecdote, I should say, not a story, an anecdote. Rav Chaim was once traveling with his son-in-law, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Levinson, and they came to pay. They were after the trip was over, they're just the time to pay the wagon driver. Like you take a taxi, you pay your taxi driver, for Uber, or whatever. So the Chafetz Chaim noticed that when the son-in-law paid the wagon driver, he sort of just handed him the money and just left the wagon, and that was that. But Chaim told him, you missed out on a very important mitzvah in the Torah. This is really what's the mitzvah. This is the mitzvah is, b'yoyim etitem sorei, you should pay a person on the day that he does the labor for you. The mitzvah to pay a person on time is the subject of tonight's shir. It's the mitzvah that's, so to speak, the hidden mitzvah that we don't know about. Every time we pay for any rental, we pay any worker, we should be thinking in our minds that we're doing a mitzvah the same way we eat matzah, we shake bullet. In fact, there's also a mitzvah for life, I say, if we don't do it on time, and therefore it's a very special mitzvah. And if we walk away from tonight's shir with just that Oh, that's always my first question. The next one is, and what about kids? So, Tegayim, but generally speaking, I cannot say we find in the Pesukim that the Chiyuv is Tegayim as well. I don't know if it's explicit, not like that, but I didn't find that it is. As far as Tanim go, the halacha is, if time says for children, you do it another part. But let me build it up step by step so it doesn't become too confusing. Now there's many questions that come into this. What does it mean to take somebody on time? Let's say I don't have all the money. Let's say I only have $99 out of $100. Did I fulfill my mitzvah or not? right? That's another example. It's right before Shabbos. I don't have time to pay. I might transgress the register of waiting to pay. Does this apply to rentals, paying my rent on time? If I rent a gown, my wife rents a gown from a gemach, is there a mitzvah of paying the rent on time for the gown? What about contractors? Paying on time to contractors, is that considered also the same thing? How about children, like we just said before, if you promise your child a candy and you give it to him late, we'll explain what late means in a second, did you transgress the mitzvah?
Tuition?
Okay, good question. What about tuition? If I traveled out of town, I didn't have time to pay my workers a payday, can I pay them tomorrow, or is there a problem if I'm missing payday? Let's say I just work in HR management, I just hire, I'm not the actual boss of the company. Do I have the mitzvah of the Yom or do I not have the mitzvah? So these are many questions, and there are many more as well. So let's break down the mitzvah of the Torah. The Torah tells you two psukim that have to do with the mitzvah of paying on time. One is a pasuk in Vayikra, Lesolam Pu'u Asafir Itad Boiker, do not keep the money that you owe a worker till the morning. And the other pasuk is in the bar, and Biyoyma Kitin Sari, pay him in the same day. He Anihu, because he's poor, Ve'elov who knows his nafshe, and he counts on this money. So now, why one pasuk says pay him by the morning, the other one says pay him by the night? So the Gemara explains, it depends. There's two workers we're discussing here. Some that are night laborers, they have to be paid before the morning if they finish their job in the middle of the night. And there are day laborers that finish their job in the middle of the day, they have to be paid by the end of the day. Now, it doesn't literally only mean the end of the day. If you pay the guy weekly, so it has to be at the end of the week. Whatever the end of the time period, the next time period would be, the pay period, you have to pay by that time. Now, let's say you ended between Shkia and Tzeitzit Kechavim, so you're supposed to pay him right away. It says in Spark. Now, what is the mitzvah said about? So someone asked before about the tuition. The mitzvah B'yayim HaKitin Sari, as we said in the Pasuk, applies to a person who's working for you or any similar kind of sphiros, which means rentals. You rent the car, you rent the gown, you hire a worker, anything that the concept of, we would use the Hebrew word sphiros for, which is loosely translated as rentals, paying a worker is not a rental, but it's called a sphiros, you would have the mitzvah of B'yayim HaKitin Sari. What's the reason behind it? First of all, so the Torah tells you because he counts on it tremendously. The spirit of the mitzvah is don't treat somebody like if he's just, you know, some piece of garbage. Don't say, oh, I'm busy now, come tomorrow, I'll pay you tomorrow. It's your responsibility to make sure he's paid on time. The mitzvah is to take the concept of paying somebody on time seriously. And it shouldn't be something that you just push off. So now, the pasuk, in fact, refers to this as noisei es nafshe, his whole life depends on it. And Rashi says to the point that people will put their life in danger to work. Rashi gives an example. Why did a person climb a tree? And from there, we learn out many interesting halachas that show you how much a person depends on their salary. So we shouldn't just brush them off. For example, if you're a doctor, you're allowed to walk into a hospital. It's dangerous. You can get sick, right? Doctors hang around sicknesses all day long. If you work as a soldier, if you work as a police, if you work as a security guard, you're doing jobs that are dangerous. Are you allowed to do jobs that are dangerous? So based on this Rashi that says that a person will put his life on the line for his parnasa, the place can say that you are allowed to do jobs that are dangerous because that we see the concept of parnasa being sometimes something that takes a risk. They ask the Noi to be Yehuda if a person is allowed to go hunting for a parnasa. Famous shuva from the Noi de Yehuda. Noi de Yehuda says that a person is allowed to go hunting for parnasa because of the shiloh, because of this rash ale of the Noi. He canceled it as parnasa, and besides with a shiloh, we're not talking about right now, it's a terrible time and everything. Obviously, we're talking about the person needed it for whatever reason. But the concept is it's a dangerous thing. There's wild animals, there's, I guess, other hunters there. He says you're allowed to based on this rash. Now, Ramesha Nigus Mesha, interestingly enough, was asked if you're allowed to play baseball. So what's the question of playing baseball? So apparently, I guess, especially in Major League, if you play, you know, throwing pitches at 100 miles an hour, a guy can get killed or can get seriously injured. So a person is putting himself in the line of danger. So Ramesha says, based on the same Rashi, and then he writes at the end that they showed him that the Noi de Yehuda said the same thing as far as hunting goes. Ramesha says, he had a lot of enjoyment to see that they showed him that. He said, based on this rash, if you do it for a salary, you're allowed to play baseball. Now you're going to ask him, what if you don't? So don't play Major League Baseball. You're not getting paid. Anyway, so the point we see from here, how serious it is when a person puts his life on the line for work. So it's our responsibility to make sure that the guy gets paid on time. If the guy is willing to really put his life in such a risk that it's only due to him, it's only mentioned that we take it seriously to pay him on time. And in fact, I saw in a sefer that they're right. We come to Hashem, we ask Hashem to give us our parnasa, and when someone comes to us to pay them, we just send them flying. So how do we reconcile the two attitudes? So if we want Hashem to answer us, we should make sure to give it the preference and the importance. Now, one of the most important and usually one of the first questions in this year is, what about paying rent on time? Rent is renting an apartment, just like you rent a car. Is that the same concept of paying somebody on time or not? So now, the Shulchan Aruch actually says that for renting land, there is no din bal kol. Now, I have to just give an introduction. We are talking about a mitzvah of paying on time. We're not talking about not paying at all. Not paying at all, a person who doesn't plan on paying is a whole different ball. Right? That's called stealing. It's otherwise, another way of calling it is stealing. Five laven in the Torah and want to say, we don't want to steal. But paying on time, you're going to pay. You're planning on paying. You have the money to pay. You're busy. Like we'd say, I can't do it. I'm just too busy. You're responsible to not be busy and to go make sure it's paid. Now, when it comes to rent on time, you have to actually take the time on payday of the rent to pay the time. So we said that land, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is exempt from bal kolim. However, a house, the Tzitzis Lashon discusses, since a house is not land itself, since originally a house was components that were not attached to the ground and they were reconnected to the ground, so for this purpose, it says a question, it basically brings him a flakus and his ribbis, and he comes out that since it's a suffix, if it's considered ground or not, it's a suffix that actually should not take a chance and it should be a mitzvah to pay your rent on time. So before everyone gets too excited, we just have to give a little disclaimer. Most of us pay rent before the month starts. We don't pay rent after the month is over. We hope, at least. Most of us are supposed to be paying rent in the beginning. That's according to the Gemara, it ain't serious for Shalabas all of a sudden. But if you're prepaying your rent, this whole discussion is not negated because there was no work done yet. There was no rental period that you're paying for. You're prepaying the rent. So there's no concept of paying on time as far as the halacha bal talim goes. Obviously, as far as, you know, you want to have a good record as far as paying rent. But as far as halacha goes in bal talim, there cannot be bal talim for a prepayment of a rent. So if you prepay your car rental, which you don't, but if you would, you would have to. You would not be even paying the dinner bal talim. That'll be everything to start. Another reason why in rentals there's no bal talim is because there's a security deposit. Security deposits, by definition, mean that there's collateral that's held by the landlord. If there's collateral held by the landlord, he has something against you, so in essence, he has a payment already. Therefore, you would not have a transgression of not paying on time, because technically he could hold on to that as a payment. But if you have an arrangement, I guess you could say an unofficial or yeshivish arrangement, where someone is staying in a room in your house and they're paying at the end of the month and there's no lease or whatever, in that case, you have a special question telling you to pay on time and the tenant to pay on time, I should say, and this way you wouldn't have any, you have the mitzvah guaranteed to start and wouldn't be allowed of missing paying on time. Now, some of you may have surmised, the concept, since it only applies to paying workers, so if you have vendors and workers, most people will give preference to the vendors. But unfortunately, that's not the way the Torah looks at it. Even though you don't want to lose your vendors, but the Torah looks at it that your workers have to have precedence. Because even though vendors are very important, and you definitely have to pay them, but the mitzvah of paying on time is based on a worker. It's the pasuk discussing workers and we're discussing rentals. Again, it's exactly the pasuk in a certain sense, and that's what halacha is. What's the halacha if a person does not have money to pay? So, first of all, we said before that this is a mitzvah like matzah and lulav. This is a real mitzvah. In fact, a person of time before is first to think he's saying, "I'm doing mitzvah." But sometimes, by the way, the AI generated stack is that you don't have to do pay a guy in time. Apparently, it's a good custom, but apparently, it's based on, I don't know, whatever, but it's a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv, it's not just a nice thing to do. When I research to see how it comes up according to AI, praiseworthy to pay on time. Another reason not to use AI. Anyway, so what if you don't have money to pay? So if you don't have money to pay, this is explicit halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that the halacha batalon only applies to somebody that has the ability to pay. So many people right away jump on me and they say, well, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you don't have any money to pay with, so there's no batalon. So the answer is, what does it mean not having money to pay with? First of all, not having money to pay with, the Chafetz Chaim and Avos Chesed writes very clearly that if it's something that you can get easily, if you're able to acquire the money easily, you have a friend, you have a neighbor standing right next to you, he can lend you the money, or you have goods in your store that you're selling all the time, you have the ability to collect an outstanding invoice, so get the money and pay the guy. You have a $100 bill, break the bill and pay the guy. Go to the bank, get the money. All those things are required neighbor at that. You're required to go to the bank, whatever you're doing, go to the bank, get the money and pay. As far as the not having at all, if a person only, let's say he would have to sell his dining table or whatever, he would have to sell some serious assets, in that case, it's called not having, and he's not transgressing anything simply because he does not have it. The chinuch, as the chinuch explains, is brought there by Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, that it seems to him, says the chinuch, that a person does not have to have a great loss in order to fulfill the mitzvah. In order to have the source to fulfill the mitzvah, a person, there's a certain limitation, a logical limitation. But if it's easy or relatively easy for a person, it's a mitzvah that a person should grab and try to be with
him.
Does he have to take a loan? Oh, beautiful. Okay, beautiful. So the Bishop Chuba brings from that Rizal. Then it's one of the few places this is true in Shulchan Aruch, is that a person, even though technically he's not required, but it's a midas hasidus to borrow money to pay.
AI.
Midas hasidus if you don't have money. You have money. It's a mitzvah. Okay. So it's good you pointed out. I actually wanted to speak, I forgot. The Arizal says that it's a midas hasidus to borrow. So that's brought down in the Graz, by the way, the Shulchan Aruch Graz brings down the Arizal as well, just the truest part of the Graz. And again, to go the extra mile, to care for the guy who went out the extra mile for you, go the extra mile for him. Now we know that, like I said before, it's a mitzvah saseh, so we know that keeping a mitzvah saseh at a time that there's a midah sadin in the world, keeping a mitzvah saseh gives you extra protection. So grabbing onto this mitzvah will be something definitely that's worth, you know, taking into account. There's an interesting discussion that comes into Hilchos Shabbos that's connected to this. And Mishnah Berurah brings down a very interesting case right in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. So let's say you gave your clothing to the tailor, and the tailor shows up, he delivers it to your house right before Shabbos. You have just enough money to buy yourself some decent food for Shabbos, or else you're just going to have to subsist on some sardines or whatever. And this guy wants the money to pay for the tailor, for his job. So what do you do? You have covered Shabbos, extra hiddur covered Shabbos, I should say, and you have the mitzvah of the Yom Tikkun Sarai, so which one takes preference?
I would say you pay the tailor over.
Oh, so one is the Raisa, right? Not like AI. One is the Raisa, and one is only a Drabana, at least according to some opinions that he brings down. So the Shabbos says, yes, that's what you have to do. You have to pay the tailor and you know, have not the greatest Shabbos in order to retire in the midst of the Yom Kippur Sarah. However, he finds a solution otherwise, not the greatest solution to Machlokes, but he says, you do have the technical right to refuse delivery. This is the finish of the Mishnah Berurah. Chafetz Chaim about it. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees with this. But he wants to say that as long as he refused delivery, in other words, he's not in your house already, he's like coming by to drop it off, and you say, no, I can't take it now, you're not hired to pay him.
But then you're wrong with both your Shabbos hands.
Okay, that's a little bit. But assuming you do have it, you have the right to refuse a little. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, if he's bringing it to you, you're hired to take it. You can't send a coin, it's all part of the mitzvah. But again, this brings out the importance of the mitzvah.
Can I tell him that I'll pay him tomorrow or whatever Sunday?
Okay, so the question is, so if you agreed earlier, he has a right to be mindful. He has a right to be mindful, but it's better, much better.
If he's mindful, you lose the mitzvah, you
would lose the mitzvah. Yeah. This is actually one of the things you have to know. About cover, you can only get on that day. You can only get the mitzvah that day. Once the day is over, you will not, there's only one time a person transgresses it. The next day already, it's finished. It's already gone. It's not going to be every single day another Baal Kohen, but so he loses the ma'il of the mitzvah as well, according to most folks do. So therefore, you want to grab it on that day. You want to grab that mitzvah on that day.
Even if he agrees to later payment.
Right. But there is, What's that?
If you agreed in advance.
Oh, so if you agreed in advance, there's nothing to talk about. I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. So if you agree in advance, there's nothing to talk about. We're talking without the agreement, and the worker is there who wants his payment, and he gave you his time, so he wants you to give him your time.
That's it.
Now there's another, yeah.
It doesn't make any difference if the person that brings it doesn't need the money, or if you need
who doesn't need the money? The worker?
The worker. Per se doesn't.
Doesn't matter if he needs the money, even if the guy's a millionaire. If he did the job, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Even though the title calls him money, it's just a way of calling the person who's counting on this money for whatever reason. I just sat on the entire the other day where a very wealthy person came against somebody who owed them rent. And the wealthy person said, listen, I'm counting on this money to make a wedding for my granddaughter. So, just because someone has money doesn't mean that it's all available. Sometimes they do count on it, so you can't know what it's being used for. But here's a very important halacha. This is one of the things that sort of took me off guard when I started getting into Pashut Mishpat. It's even though a person may not have Baal Kohen or B'yom Kippur started after the first day, but there's a mitzvah derabbana, I don't know if anyone ever heard of it, called Al Toimer L'Re'acha Leif L'Shoy. Don't tell somebody, go and come back. It's a pasuk, and it's a smichus akra, the mitzvah derabbana, that you should not tell somebody, go and come back. I'm sure everyone here knows what that means. Yeah, come back, call me later, right? I'm busy now, let's be tomorrow, whatever, et cetera. Next week, I'm on vacation, I'll be back in a week. That's called leif b'shayt. It's actually a prohibition, the drabbanan, to tell somebody that. If you owe them the money, it's usher to do that. Assuming you have, if you're out of town, it's different. But if you have the ability, again, the point is, make the effort. That's the point. So even if it's not the mitzvah of the Torah, but it's a mitzvah of the Rabbanah, not to push people off. Like I said, just don't drape people a cup. If you owe somebody money, take the money. That's what it is. But so therefore, even though in certain instances, in the law of Baal Kohen, in Siman Shin Lamed Tes, which is only one Siman, it's good to learn it in Pashut Mishpat, but there's, even though you may be exempt from Baal Kohen in all different kinds of cases, but the mitzvah of Rabbanah, of pushing somebody off and making them come back, you're going to have a lot of time. So you don't want to get into the habit of saying, oh, there's no Baal Kohen, because you want to pay on time. So now, what's some of the examples where there's no Baal Kohen? So we said before, if a person absolutely doesn't have the money, okay, that's one case. Another case that's given in the Shulchan Aruch is if a person hired through an agent. The Gemara said in Mitzio that Amemar and Rufista, I believe it was, Mazutra, they used to hire workers for each other. And here's the benefit of hiring through an HR company, generally speaking. It's Xeris HaKosov, basically that the mitzvah of hiring was said, paying directly as if you're the one hiring, he's counting on you. But if he was hired through an intermediary, he knows that that person is not paying him and he never spoke to you. So the logic is, says the Taisha Shrid, the logic is that he's not really 100% counting on
it. Even if it's a broker?
They're not
paid by the agency. The agency just connects with people to the job.
So therefore?
Therefore, who's counting on you as soon as you're the one selected?
The broker's counting on you or the worker's counting?
No, so the person who did the job is only using the agency as a broker to find jobs. But they're not relying on
so that, yeah, so it's not going to have, it's not going to have within beyond a few years. Of course you have to, this is totally paying on time. Of course, you have to pay the guy, but paying on time, getting that mitzvah or transgressing Baal Kohen, you want to have. For example, if you're a shareholder, people have shares in many companies. Are they transgressing Baltalim if they're not paying the workers on time? The lachas are not. Why? Because it's not them. It wasn't hired through them. They never spoke to the guy that had nothing to do with it. They didn't even know who works in the company. So there's no Baltalim on such a thing. But, so the difference in where it says, our main manager had this sort of, I guess you could say, trick that they hired for each other, and therefore they avoided all the questions going forward of Baltalim.
They lost that
result. Yeah. So I guess they felt that was the right thing to do in that case. So there's a machlokes. There's an interesting machlokes of Aaron and Mishnah of Aaron and Chavetz. If you work in the HR department where you are the decider of payroll and everything, it's up to you to pay, figure out all the salaries and everything. Are you equivalent to the owner, or are you equivalent as if you were agent hiring? So Chavetz Chaim is the opinion that there is a regular case of Malkalot, and they count on you to pay them. The Baron says no. Since the concept of withholding payment means you're withholding it for yourself, and if you work in HR, you're not withholding it for yourself, you're just withholding for the company, there would be no issue about Malkalot. Now, since it's something that arises, so like you said before, you want to be careful, and if you work in the HR department, you want to try to pay your workers on time. And this is something that many people that I know, they really overextend themselves to have payroll the day of pay, when it's due, and especially like we said before, it's a mitzvah. Now you have a lady that has to pay sometimes, or you have sometimes the executor of an estate. He runs an estate for orphans or whatever it is, or a trust. So in those cases, it would be dependent on the machlokes of Chavetz Chaim and the Baron if he has a mitzvah or not. And therefore, it's important to try to go the extra mile.
Is a boss labor if he has an HR department?
That he's not labor because they never spoke to him. He's not labor. They never spoke. He's definitely not labor. The question of the HR department is strong enough to be considered the one that they count on. So again, it's one of these loopholes the Shulchan Aruch says there may not be Baltalim, but there is Altarim and Reakal Eitzel Shoyt. Can't push people off and make them come back again.
So is there no issur for a boss to pay an employee late for the department? I understand it's not an issur of late salt, but is there perhaps another issur, and also late for Shoyt? But right. let's say in general, I mean, I am assuming many people have worked for companies where they kind of don't get paid on time. Let's say they're not coming back and forth. They're just not paid on time. Is there no issur?
It's not an arrow thing.
Right.
It's not an arrow thing. I would say it's borderline late for Shai, maybe, even if they didn't actually drain them a cup, but they're keeping them waiting. That probably would be something like that.
They mail it out the same day, but they don't get it.
Okay, so that's a good shadow, very good shadow. So that the lesson in that case would be that since it's known that it's going to be mailed on that day, so it's sort of as it was spoken at originally, like a Tanai or a Mechila as in the beginning.
If they pay the check for that day, very
good, Shiloh. What if you pay with the check? Are you kind of missing the OMT Tinsar or not? So the price can discuss this question. It takes time to clear, so it's not the OMT Tinsar. So most places say that it's since a check is considered a valid form of cash almost today. And they're small for sure in America. The
you could do a third party check.
What's that?
You could do a third party check.
You could, yeah. But it's still not as good. Third party is even more iffy. So now another shiloh is prepayment. Could you prepay a job, you prepay a taxi service, you prepay anything, you send your kids up to camp, you pay the guy before they go up. What's the status? Are you kind of the only thing that starts? So Chavetz Chaim writes, and I've assessed it, that you're not Mekayim the Yom Kippur because it's not time to pay it. The payment is due at the end of the draft, as the Chavetz Chaim says. However, Rav Moshe Shternhof, Jewish on Haggis, says that in his opinion, that if anything, this is the best way possible because the Torah says he depends on it, and here you prepaid him, and here he has the money. What could be better? So Rav Moshe Shternhof was of the opinion that it's even better, and a person is Mekayim.
What's the smart other way? That's not
because the mitzvah is just that when the service is rendered, you have to pay for the service in time. But if there's no service rendered, what do you think? You're technically not obligated to pay.
But it's all about the feeling of the vendor over the worker.
Yeah, the feeling has to be connected to the salary. That's why the righteous servant was saying, like you're saying. They have,
they have a service. They finish the service, but they don't bill you right away.
Okay. So the Gemara says. So this is one of the things. The Gemara says that if in determining the case where there was a, the city in Mechuza, I think they had a market day, and everybody knows that they didn't pay the workers until the market day was over. So in that case, do the owners or the landlords or whatever the people, the bosses have to pay on time or not? So the Gemara says no. They can wait till the next day. Why? Because everyone in this whole market knows that nobody closes out any payroll till the end, till the market day, the market's over, till the market's closed up. You have a flea market that takes 3 days. So at the end of the 3 days, that's when payment was due. So anytime there's a clear understanding or a clear stipulation that the money's becoming later on, there's no problem at all. So I know that there are some people that write in their contracts that when they hire the person, that if they run late, you're forgoing any payda of Baltal. That means to say, of course, I'm going to try to pay on time, but I don't want to be considered transgressing the mitzvah of the Torah. Therefore, if you're being muffled sort of upfront. Not the nicest thing to write in a contract, but I guess people do that to avoid the shadow.
Well, it works.
Yes, it works. No, you have a right to be muffled in advance. If the stipulation is up, I'm not paying you on time, I'm paying you 3 weeks from the day you finish the job, and that was the agreement. The rule is, when it comes to Chesh Mishra, call the Naish of a moment of time. Anything that you make up financially, technically, as long as it's not flying in the face of an explicit halacha, will technically be binding. So in this case, you have a right to agree when the payday is. I'm agreeing paydays in 3 weeks after you finish the job. So in that case, it would not be any issue. So, okay, so now, the same thing applies to contractors, by the way, also paying for the job, not only for hourly laborers, even though sometimes people get into FICO contractors, they're not happy with the job, they want to hold on to the payment. Many times people will not give the whole thing. It's a danger zone. You don't want to get into a situation where you're transgressing the mitzvah of the Torah because you want the guy to straighten out the corner of the cabinet. So for a little thing like that, you know, or anything really, a suffix, issue of the Torah, you don't want to take a chance. Again, if you look at it, if a person's concept of this is like a mitzvah matzah, he would look at it differently than trying to hold on to the money every possible way.
So really, he didn't do the job yet. He got paid.
He didn't do the job yet? No, so that is nothing to do.
You're not finished, but he paid already. Are you paying that for the day, but he didn't finish his job today? Is there any problem with the contractor?
You paid him for the job and he didn't finish the job? But there's no problem. What's the problem? If you paid him?
The contractor has no obligation.
He has no, does he have an obligation? Of course, he has no obligation to finish the job. Yeah. You can't take the money and not finish. Yeah.
Is it something or not?
Steal it. Take money or something you never did? That's cool stuff.
I'm coming home late at night.
Oh, beautiful. So this is one of the shilohs I want to end off with. The babysitter shiloh, famous shiloh babysitter. So this has many components. The person comes home, like you're saying, he went to Hassan, he hired a 10-year-old girl to babysit his kids, a 12-year-old, whatever, he comes home, he owes her $10, he only has $8. He gives her $8. Is he transgressing anything? So the answer is that Baltalin, you can only avoid Baltalan if you pay in full. If a person pays $99.99 out of $100, he's still going to transgress Baltalan. It has to be a full salary. Almost doesn't count. So in that case, he would be under Baltalan. Now, you asked before about the Muslim. He can ask her to wait. Technically, that would maybe work. The problem is she's a katana. A katana is debatable if her mechila is going to work or not.
Well, but I told you
right
approximate that it would work.
Okay. Yeah, she's not a Kana anyway. Yeah, she's 12 years old,
she's 30
years old,
she's 10 years old.
She has a shiloh. So I asked the shiloh today, it's a friend of mine. This shiloh is a famous shiloh, comes up all the time. People, this is probably one of the most common applications on phone. Pay your babysitter on time. Okay. Bottom line, pay your babysitter on time. Make sure you have money, pay her on time so you don't have problems. Somebody wanted to say an interesting story today that a katana. The Gemara says, "Ma'aseh Yadeh, go to the father." So technically, you owe him money. And we just learned before that if you hire through a shliach, there's no baltalan. So he wanted to say the woman is not told in that case. I never saw this brought down in the Sefer. It's a cute Svara, but either way, a person should be careful to make sure to pay on time.
If you have almost all the money and he's Michael, that part of the salary, you get your mitzvah.
Mechila helps, but if it's a real mechila, if it's just because he had no choice,
$99, you owe $100, it's Michael Lagalba, you get your mitzvah.
Yeah, so then you get
the reason why he's Michael Lagalba is only because he didn't have money.
That's not a good mechila,
right?
Okay, so use your common sense. And one of the very interesting halachos about Poland, which is Shomar,
brings down. Mechila helps that you don't get a lot.
He's not masking. The only reason why he's masking is you didn't have the 100. If you had the 100, he wouldn't have been masking.
Oh,
one second. Let's forget about the dollar. The only reason why he had the dollar is masking is because you don't have. It's not.
Here's another interesting shadow. Okay, let's say Ruben is very busy jetting around the country. It's payday. He sends a message to his worker. Listen, I'm not going to make it back on time. I'm going to pay you in 2 days. I'm going to give you a bonus. I'll give you a bonus for waiting.
Anyone would like a bonus.
Is that really?
Oh, beautiful. So the question is, are you allowed to do that? The answer is it's ribbons. You can't do that because it's ribbons. Now, okay, you have to structure it differently. You get out of your problem with ribbons. But technically, there would be about Collins, first of all, by the fact that he's forcing them to wait. Now, you're saying everyone would be mindful in order to get it. So in that case, could be that would have the board about Balcon, but you'd run into the river shallow because why is the river first of all? Because the halacha is that anytime you have a salary for a job that was finished, when the job is done, a salary reverts to a loan. Once the job is finished, you now owe that money as a loan. And what? Right. So any agar notar, any money that you add to have the benefit of having a loan with your ribbons. So in this case, you're adding, let's say, $100 to have 2 extra days on payroll, so you're paying $100 to have credit for 2 more days. So that's considered ribbons.
You have to add to the job, huh? Or once it's closed.
Oh, so something
that reopens, or
no? So one of the ideas was that to do a little something to continue the job till payday and all the time. Yeah, there's different
ways to
get at it. What?
It work the other way on the course. The fact that he can go buy skira and make money on that is that ribbons on the course.
No, the fact that he's traveling around and buying stuff? Oh.
For example, let's say he has to pay a worker $100, right? So he stores off to pay the worker for, I'll pay you tomorrow. Okay, fine, no problem. He takes the money and now he can buy more stuff. Is that ribbons on the books?
What should be the ribbons? Is that
using that money. That money, is a loan.
I understand. You're
that's his money.
Every loan you're using, right? It's not ribbons to use a loan. That's what a loan is. But the ribbons would be if you had to add more payment because you use it. You can't charge money. Mark talks about someone wanting to sell money for money. Sell $100 for $120. Okay, but the bottom line is it's all different forms of ribbons. Okay, so we spoke up. You walk into a doctor's office, has a sign, payment due when service is rendered. Many times you walk in, you have a sign hanging, and you know you don't have money for the copay, you don't have insurance or whatever. So you should let them know that you're not going to be able to pay today. You should tell them, it doesn't look like I'm, what's that?
Before you
tell them, listen, this is my story. Can you wait? They say, yes, fine. If they say, no, we can't service you, then you would be technically running it today.
So
that's the charge.
You don't need to tell them to do it.
I'll do it anyway. Okay. I just want to end off with a beautiful thought, which really drives home every time you learn Kashya Mishpah. When you get to know business halacha, you start seeing that many of the laws that exist today were taken sometimes verbatim out of the Gemara, out of the Shulchan Aruch. It's mind-boggling how literally almost copy and paste from Aruch. For example, the concept of giving 30 days notice to a tenant, 60 days, a year in commercial loans, a worker quitting a job in the middle of the day, the Gemara says you can't stop a guy from quitting an hourly wage to find the worker. He has a right to quit at any time because, or else he's like your servant. And I bother, hey, well, I bother my brother. You can't hold a guy in servitude to you. There's a law in America that a worker is allowed to quit a job because it's involuntary servitude. So it's literally the words of the Gemara. So it's amazing to see that, you know, forget about, you know, trying to disprove evolution and all the nonsense out there. Just, we have halakhas today that are recognized as the most just system that ever existed. And we had these halakhas for thousands and thousands of years. It's not like our halakhas evolved. 3,000 years ago, people were doing the same exact thing, the same mitzvah, the other people started, the same thing, but like, not one letter changed. The same 30-day notice, the same everything today. While the rest of the world was running around in leather wineskins or, you know, into all kinds of other nonsense. Civilization today is first recognizing what we had all the time. And these are the laws that we live with, and we're sort of hearing our own halakhas coming back to us. It's amazing to see. And what bigger proof do we need that Torah Sinai and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu that runs the world? But another beautiful thought that came to my mind is Derek Muscle. I heard one time on a show he said in a shir, beautiful thought. He says you have three airplanes that landed in three different places in the world. An airplane lands in Rome. Off the airplane comes a fellow who's greeted at the airport. What's your name? My name is Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar, like from the Caesar salad? I said, no. What do you mean? I'm the Caesar of Rome. I can have your head chopped off for talking to me that way. So, okay, I'm sorry. What would you like? So, what do you mean? Take me to the Senate. I have to, you know, there's no Senate. What do you mean? The steps of the Senate where I said the last words at Tu Brute, right? What happened? Sorry, I could give you, for $10, I could give you a tour of the ruins. He says, no, this is not the country. This is not the country that I remember. And the same thing, the other airplane lands in Greece, off the plane steps a fellow, what's your name? His name is Socrates. Socrates? Okay, interesting name. What happened to help you? Well, take me to the places where they discuss philosophy, whatever this stuff is, the Colosseum, all these famous landmarks in Greece. I'm sorry, these are ruins. Nobody's discussing philosophy. Maybe if you want to talk about AI or metaverse or stuff like that, maybe we have a little bit of a crowd for you, but philosophy is right now not the top of our list of interest. Another plane lands in Yerushalayim in Tel Aviv. Let's say off the plane steps a fellow. So I'm left. What's your name? My name is Moshe. Come on in, Moshe. I'm also Moshe. Same name as you. Really? So tell me, can I find kosher food? You know, I can only eat something that's called kosher. What do you mean? I also only eat kosher. I have every kind of kosher you want. Landas, badats, whatever you want, we have. Beautiful. Okay. Take me someplace. Show me around. He takes him to Yerushalayim, takes him, let's say, shows him Kaisel, takes him to a school, and he hears Torah Tzivolonim Moshe. A little chosen are saying, Torah Tzivolonim Moshe. The same way Moshe Rabbeinu brought it down from Mount Sinai, it's the same way we learn it today as well. And not only that, it's being shown into our own faith. Our Torah is what people the world over live by today. What more just and how much more proud can we be of all the mitzvahs that we have? So if the world is doing it, Kal v'chomer, we should do it, and we should get that extra boost, that extra special mitzvah, like we said today, have take it on this new mitzvah that every time we pay for something, for rentals or anything to do with paying on time, a person should have this kavana and get this tremendous source, and Hashem should be a source for the Gula there.